Today on The Journey.
Whatever we do in heaven, we know this, heaven will not be boring. It will be an eternity of the most satisfying work, communication, learning, and worship. It will not be boring.
Since we were first able to make sense of this life, we have thirsted for the next one. The question that has largely occupied our wondering has been, is there a heaven? And if so, what is it like? Well, that's Ron Moore's focus on today's program. His study of our eternal home will ease your wondering and salt your thirst. Also, to begin preparing your heart for the celebration of Christ's victorious resurrection, we have a special devotional offer. It's called Relent, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with the message, Finite or Forever, Is There a Heaven? On The Journey.
Now the first thing I want to say, if you want to talk about heaven, you don't have to come to church to do it. Watch television, go to movies, listen to songs on the radio. 81% of those who live in the United States believe there is a heaven. God has set eternity in our hearts. This topic is not only on television and movies on the radio, but in the major news magazines. Time and Newsweek and U.S. News have had these as cover stories. Visions of heaven. Does heaven exist? Life after death. Now, the heaven they believe in may be a little different than what Scripture says. We've already determined that God's Word is where we go find the truth. And so let's do that and turn to John chapter 14. And we're going to look first at the foundational truths of Scripture. Let me read verses 1 through 4 and then we'll go through it. Jesus is telling His disciples, He's getting ready to leave them. He's not going to be with them any longer. But He tells them this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I'm going. Now here, very basically, Jesus puts out four foundational truths about heaven. First, He says, heaven is a place. It is not a state of mind. It is not a mental transportation. It is not a feeling or emotion. Heaven, Jesus says, is a real place that we're going to go to. Secondly, Jesus likens heaven to a home. In My Father's house are many rooms. A place where you can finally be home. Now, I don't know about you, but I love going home. It's a place of warmth. It's a place of acceptance. It's a place where you can be yourself. And heaven is finally home. The old commentator J.C. Ryle says this, home, as we all know, is a place where we are generally loved for our own sakes, not for our gifts or possessions. The place where we are loved to the end, never forgotten, always welcomed. Believers are in a strange land. In the life to come, they will be home. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. For the believer, finally, heaven will be home. Third foundational truth, heaven is a place where we will be with Jesus. Look at verse 3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am. So in heaven, we will be with Jesus forever and ever. The only way we can be in heaven is because of Christ, and that's the fourth foundational truth. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. Look at verse 5. After Jesus said these things about heaven, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where You're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth. I am the light. No man comes to the Father. No one can go to heaven except through me. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And it's only through Christ, and we've addressed this in the big questions. That's a big question. Is Jesus the only way? It's only through Jesus Christ that we can have a relationship forever with God. So that's the big question, isn't it? Have you come to that point in your life where you realize that you cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Him? Without Him, your destiny is hell. Your destiny is separation from Him. With Him, eternity with God. Now, with those foundational truths, let's deal with some questions. Turn to the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And here the Apostle John gets a vision of heaven from God Himself, and he is going to try his best to describe what heaven is going to be like. Now, John is going to describe the indescribable. So he's going to use figures of speech and comparisons to describe that which is beyond any comprehension. On our best day, we could not even come close to fathom the splendor and vastness and brilliance of eternity. So the remainder of our time, let's look at John's Revelation 21 and 22. Let's go through that by asking five common questions. So Revelation 21, 20. Now, before we ask those questions, one thing I got to say. The word John uses throughout the Revelation to describe heaven is a three-letter word, N-E-W, new. All the way through his description, John says, new. This is different. Chapter 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Now, the word new denotes change. If you don't like change, you're not going to like heaven, because it is going to be the biggest change we have ever experienced. The word new describes something to this point has never been known. So all the descriptions of heaven we're going to see are going to be outside our zones of experience. They're going to be outside our zones of comprehension. They're certainly going to be outside our zones of comfort. You ready? Here's the first question. What will heaven look like? Well, first, John says it will be brilliant beyond imagination. Look at chapter 21, verses 10 and 11. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. Look at chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, pure as glass. The foundation of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And then verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The brightest, most brilliant sight on earth, the brightest, most brilliant experience on earth will be dull in comparison to heaven. Secondly, we see that heaven will be a spacious and multidimensional place. Look at verse 15 and 16. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out in a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high as it was long. 12,000 stadia is about 1,500 miles. So think of the United States from the tip of New York to the tip of Texas, and then from the East Coast to the Mississippi River, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles tall, a cube of 1,500 miles. Now, the point that John is making here is that there is plenty of room for everyone in heaven. No one will be left out. And that description given there is just the New Jerusalem, just the city of Jerusalem. Look at verse 12. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So there are gates to go in and out of the city. And that would imply that there are other places to go. Remember, there's not only the new city of Jerusalem, but what else? The new heavens and the new earth. So here's a description of immeasurable vastness to go in our eternal dwelling. Now, as you look around, there are some things that aren't in heaven. Look at chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw new heaven and new earth, the first heaven, first earth passed away, and there was no longer any what? Any sea. Now, why would there not be any sea in heaven? When you look in Scripture and the reality of our world today, many times sea describes that which is treacherous and dangerous. There's no sea. Another thing, there will not be in heaven no churches, no temples, no holy buildings in heaven. Look at verse 22. John says, I'm looking around, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now, almost everywhere you travel on earth, you will see a temple or a steeple sticking out, many times the central point of a city. No need for that in heaven, because there we will see God face to face. We'll have communion with Him all the time. We'll have communion with each other all the time. Heaven itself will be the assembly of saints from all time. One other thing, no night. Look at verse 25. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. John is talking to people who live in a time where there are gates where you go in and out. You shut the gates at night to protect the city. You open the gates in the morning for commerce. John says, you don't have to do that anymore because there'll never be night here. Why? Look at verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and Lamb is its lamp. Second question. What will we look like? There's a lot of speculation here of what we're going to look like in our brand new death-proof resurrected bodies. But the one example that we have in Scripture of what a resurrected body looks like is what? Is Jesus Himself after the resurrection. So a couple observations here. Number one, we see in John chapter 20 that after Jesus rose from the dead, Mary Magdalene is at the tomb and she thinks that a gardener is with her until she hears what? Jesus' voice. She recognizes His voice. So we're going to have the same voices, it would seem, in heaven. We're going to be recognizable by our voice. Jesus' voice is recognizable in His resurrected body. After the resurrection, what caused Thomas to believe that Jesus was Jesus? He saw the nail prints in Jesus' hands and the scar in His side. The resurrected, glorified body still had scars. We'll have not all our scars, I don't think. Not the scars caused by disease or death or accident or sin, but the battle scars of the Christian life, the trophies that some will have as they died for Christ, trophies throughout eternity, even in the resurrected body. In His earthly body, resurrected, Jesus was recognizable. He spoke with His disciples. They recognized Him. He had fellowship with them over food. He even appeared in a room without opening a door. So the resurrected body will be beyond spatial limitations and some of the physical limitations we have here. Just appeared through a door. We will look like we do now. Our skin color will be the same. Probably the same height. Probably the same physical makeup, except perfectly healthy, no disease, untouched by any curse of sin, and perfectly happy with the body that God has designed us. St. Augustine, writing many, many years ago, said this, "The body shall be the size which it either had attained or should have attained in the flower of its youth." So people say, well, will there be babies in heaven? We don't know for sure. Augustine, as he studies Scripture, says there'll be a perfect age. The body will either be the age it attained or should have attained in the flower of its youth. Whatever stage we will be in the resurrected body, we will continue to enjoy each other for eternity. Third question, what will we be doing in heaven? I don't know about you, but floating on clouds playing harps, that just sounds a little bit boring to me. Some people think one long church service, and as much as I love music, it's a long time to sit in a church service. Well, here are some things we know we're going to be doing in heaven. We're going to be worshiping God, and we're going to be doing what we were made to do from eternity past, worshiping God. And that will include praising. We know we'll be praising God. We know we'll be singing some new songs, and we know we'll be serving. Now, I believe we will be given assignments based on our gifts and abilities on earth. If earth is a preparation for heaven, then the gifts and abilities that God gives us here will continue, I believe, throughout heaven. Listen to what W.A. Criswell says in his book on heaven. We shall be the same person there as here. Our traits, our abilities, our personalities will be the same, only redeemed and glorified. Our lives, talents, gifts, and abilities shall continue to be developed throughout all the ages. In heaven, we shall be permitted to finish the tasks we dreamed to do here, but had no opportunity or time or strength or ability to finish on earth. Think about that. The thing you love to do the most, the thing that God gifted you to do throughout eternity, serving God as we praise God, worship God, love God, and serve Him by doing the things we're made to do. Jonathan Edwards, great theologian, writing back in the 1700s, said, "In heaven we're going to continue to study God because the ideas of God go on for eternity." Whatever we do in heaven, we know this, heaven will not be boring. It will be an eternity of the most satisfying work. Remember, work was created before the fall. Satisfying work, communication, learning, and worship. It will not be boring. Now, one question I have to ask here, not in a flippant way, because all theologians address this question, will we be walking our dog in heaven? Listen to an email I got this week. My wife and I saw the teaser for this week's sermon in the Chapel Channels Weekly asking the big question, will pets be in heaven? And I thought I'd better warn you. My wife loves her cat. I feel fairly certain that my wife will be looking among the streets of gold for her cat before she's looking for me. So I strongly suggest you keep reading Scripture until you find at least one reference to a dog or a cat being in heaven. Well, there's no reference, but most theologians believe that while Christ died to redeem our hearts, He also died to redeem the creation that's under the curse. We know that in the millennial kingdom, there will be the lion and the lamb. R.C. Sproul, the theologian, says, "In all the speculation, I would like to think that we would see our beloved pets again someday as they participate in the benefits of the redemption that God has achieved for the human race." All creation redeemed and enjoying what God has given us. Here's a fourth question. When do we go there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." Paul says in Philippians 1, "I desire to depart and be with Christ." Jesus says in John chapter 5, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but what? He has crossed over from death to life." And what did Jesus say to the thief hanging on the cross? "Today, you will be with me and paradise. When do we go to heaven? The second after we die. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Closing our eyes in death, waking up in the presence of Christ. Scripture says immediately after you die. One more thing. What will be missing in heaven? Look at verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. Death and the causes of death, the result of sin, no more death in heaven. No more cancer, no more heart disease, no more Parkinson's disease, no more car crashes, no more plane crashes, no war or famine or senseless killings, no phone calls telling you the bad news. Verse 4, no more mourning. Death and divorce and breakup causes such emotional pain. But in heaven, no more mourning. No more crying. Process of pain. Tears come sometimes involuntarily. But in heaven, no more rejection or betrayal or separation. No more standing at a casket telling someone goodbye. And we see in the first part of this verse that Jesus personally will wipe all the tears from our eyes. Verse 4, no more pain. Things on this earth that just hurt. The throbbing hurt of the heart or the body wears us down. But in heaven, no more pain. Still hurts here when we lose someone, doesn't it? Probably everyone here has had the experience of losing someone very close to you. And when we talk about heaven, that's something I believe we need to talk about. Because heaven will be spending time with Christ. Heaven will be worshiping God forever. Heaven will be serving God forever. And while we can say, yeah, those things are true, I can't imagine those things. But here's one thing I can imagine that Christ puts in my heart that doesn't let go. I'll be able to see loved ones again. And while we will worship God, and that will be the theme of eternity, we also will be able to see those who have gone before us.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. But first, a reminder. Easter, the holiest day in the Christian calendar, is less than 60 days away. To help prepare your heart for this celebration, Ron Moore has composed a challenging devotional titled Relent. As you meditate on the thought-provoking reflections there, you'll draw closer to Christ and sense His Spirit stirring your soul. In Relent, you'll discover the power of surrender in the life of Jesus and in yours. Relent can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Is sharing the most important thing in my life, crossing over a boundary of a person's life where I should not venture, is sharing my faith, pushing Christ on others. The answer to that is absolutely not. As Christians, we are commanded to share our faith. We're the ones Jesus has left on this earth to take a message and proclaim it to those in our worlds, those in our families, those in our neighborhood. We have a message that is the difference between eternal life with God forever and eternal death. There is one way you can have a relationship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And if we believe that, we've got to share that message. If someone's house was on fire, it would not be pushing for you to say, hey, follow me out to safety. Is sharing my faith pushing Christ on others? No, He is the way, the truth, and life. He's it.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And to help prepare your heart for Resurrection Sunday, we're offering a copy of Ron Moore's Easter devotional titled Relent. Relent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.